following is an interstitial or extra liminalist excerpt from last week's men's group towards the end, where there were four of us, myself, Chenimir, Simon J, two Simons, discussing Dave O'Shaughnessy and the thorny topic of war.
Working for me, would I respect? You just can't see what you expect. I'll never be primitive. That's how I live.
David said, well, if you have a trouble with ancestors, just think of influences. And then, yes, of course, that incorporates absolutely everything. But I guess, and I had a stepfather, and my stepfather was more present than my father. And so I could see in certain ways he was more of an influence on me. But actually, I don't think about him very much as compared to my real biological father. And I certainly don't feel him living in me, and I don't feel the pressure of his unlived life the way I do with my father, even getting emotional saying this. So I don't think there's any equivalency between an ancestral influence and a social influence, which is what a stepfather would be. I think it's the difference between behaviors we learn by imitation and behaviors that are actually we're born with. I mean, behavioral patterns that we're born with. So we're internally colonized by them. Well, more than that, we're shaped by them, actually. Shouldn't say colonized. And one thing Dave's talked about around this is the identity, which would be the social level where we learn by imitation, behavior through imitation. The ancestors, which is our genetic programming, to use that word, and then the essence, the essentials. I don't know if he said self, but anyway, the essence of what we are, which he said is about 2% of, well, he used the term 2% of what we're experiencing, maybe, is what he meant. Because I would say it's maybe potentially the larger portion of what we are. So getting to that seems to be ideally where this is leading. And it seems to have to do with making a peace between the identity and the ancestors, and then maybe peace with between the ancestors, because it seems the ancestors are at war as well. And then once the surface of the lake is still enough, we can see what's underneath it, which is the essence, the depths of who we are. So I think that actually it is surface, relatively, at least in that metaphor, that the identity is just the froth, as Hugo said at the beginning, and then the surface of the lake is the ancestry. It's very large. It's not deep. And then our essential nature is the depths. That's, anyway, that works for me as a felt sense of what reality is. And we think all the bad stuff's underneath, actually, sharks and all that, but I don't think it is. I think it's actually the scum on the surface, all the negative stuff.
I'll take what you give. 'Cause I love. Do
I'd like to ask, because the end of the conversation on Sunday alluded to things that were kind of going into a, we're going into a deeper sort of territory of an overall concept, if you like, for holding some of these energy deeper philosophies. Will that ever materialize?
I was inhibiting my first impulse, which was just to say no, because I'm not sure if I can even qualify it or if that's a joke or not. But I think it's because the way that you form the sentence, I didn't quite understand it. And it centered around concepts, which Dave isn't particularly keen on delivering or constructing anyway. So, and there's been an experience that many have had with Dave is that the thing that he seems to be promising, he doesn't ever deliver. But that's because if we're reading the words, then he's not especially interested. So I'm not quite sure what you're asking for, Simon, though perhaps would be the simplest response to that. Asking and asking for.
I feel the word concept for me is just a way of keeping distance from something until I believe it. It's a kind of safety rail, I think, more of. What I'm actually saying is, towards the end of the conversation, there was talk about wars, there was talk about an energy drain on the human race. There was some quite heavy pointers towards something overarching, which kind of links everything together. And just through my own journey, I've kind of come across these sort of things, and it surprised me to sort of hear about all of these things within this context. I've become so.
But it got your attention, not just surprised you, it got your attention. You thought, ooh, that sounds interesting, because that was my response too. I think I've said this, I know I've said this elsewhere, but it's probably worth repeating if I can, well, not repeating, but articulating in a new way, which is that in my experience, Dave only speaks of things that people are beginning to experience and or on the edge of experiencing. And then so speaking about them can either confirm an experience, a sensational experience we're already entering into, or help facilitate, help nudge us, you know, from the edges to the more fully into that sense of what it is that's happening. There's now an additional element, or there always has been, I suppose, which is maybe illusory, but in terms of what's going on collectively, as in time is running out and whatever's being diagnosed, the human dysfunction is accelerating, you know, reaching critical point, and so then it becomes more urgent just to become aware of it. That's another element that could be distracting, I think. So returning to the first one, like how ready are you to maybe, is it act on, or just to see the things that he's talking about? And perhaps he's gauging that as well. He'll mention them and then he'll observe what kind of visceral response he's getting from us.
Yeah, that's where I thought the humour this week was kind of interspersed in order to sort of not cover up, but almost distract a little bit from the meat that was there. And I mean, everything that we're kind of experiencing, all of these experiences are kind of, they're very they're almost very esoteric, kind of.
Esoteric, did you say?
Kinda, yeah. I say that with a not like not trying to take that as a loaded term. It's just mystical. Some of the experiences over the last couple of weeks and a few weeks have been very. I find the language a little bit restrictive because I don't want to bring any baggage that it might have for people that don't believe that sort of thing. And, so I'm very careful about how I describe things because I find myself within the context of sometimes these meetings trying to figure out what words mean. I think I've mentioned that before in the last few weeks, such as what enlightenment means, as what everyone I think is trying to figure out, and what spiritual means in this context, what these kind of terminologies really hold.
Mm. Well, I think part of that might be, and this is maybe bringing it back to Simon Jay again, which is not to say all of us, but I mean what we were talking about, Simon Jay and I, part of this may be a desire to be part of something and to know that we're speaking the same language and that we're perceiving the same things, do you think?
Yes. Yeah. Communication thing. And
which is valid, but where my attention's going in terms of what I want to say is that really, and this is something Dave said, the only thing that matters to you is the only thing that you can check and confirm anyway is what's going on for you and that and what's going in you. You know, how much is what you're receiving congruent with your experiences and how much is it enhancing or transforming your experience of your of existing, of being here. A certain sense, I think we can reduce everything to that, which of course is very, I mean, it is very distracting to think that there's a war in heaven or a war in, with the ancestors or, you know, or a great big vampire sucking the earth of all its life force and so on. All these things that may very well be true. But,
I think there's some very apparent even on the surface this connection with nature as opposed to be, and this is something else that's been running through some of his teachings, is this disconnecting from technology and being aware of the influence that it might have on your being or field, electromagnetic energy, these sort of things are kind of been floated in during some of the transmissions and correspondence. And so I think it's how deep you want to sort of see it. I mean, I think materialistically there's definitely some kind of clash of getting back to simpler times and this connectivity that we're sharing now, this face-to-face connectivity rather than this overtaking of the digital realm and hiding behind tweets and things like that. I mean, I think there's many layers to it. I think I'm saying this because I'm curious, and from a narrative, it's interesting to sort of see how kind of forming.
Well, isn't that something Dave said recently? How deep are we willing to go? Do you remember that? Does anyone remember that? I seem to remember him asking that question or tossing that gauntlet. I know he did, but I just can't remember the words or the context of it. And I think this is also back to what Simon was asking, Cy. In terms of whether Dave's ever going to deliver the truth that he keeps promising to deliver, is how deep are we willing to go? Because, and I've wrote about this and talked about this a lot recently, the truth has been weaponized, and it's actually quite easy to weaponize the truth. There's another saying related to this, which is the source isn't that good, but the saying is good, that truth without tenderness is violence. So in order to weaponize truth, all you've got to do is divorce it from tenderness, but not just tenderness, from the context of a real knowing. And that can happen even if somebody who knows the truth delivers it, if the person receiving it doesn't have the context to hold the truth in tenderly, then they could use it to do violence to themselves. And why I'm saying this is that the truth about us being, I mean, I'm not quite sure what Sai's asking about, but in my sense anyway, big picture stuff, the truth about what's going on the planet now is something that can only be held in awareness by the whole body, by the enlightened body. The identity will be is deranged by it, even by portions of it. This is conspiratainment, the whole industry, using the truth to derange identities. Not that everything else isn't doing that, but that's why that even the conspiracy stuff is complicit with that. Because we can't. So in order to receive more information about these things, we have to get deeper and deeper into our felt sense of how the body can receive all of consciousness. All of consciousness, which is the lake, you know. So the more of the deeper the lake we can experience, the more we can start to really notice how big the lake is and how scummy it is. But then we're experiencing it from underneath rather than thinking I've got to dive into that. Holy shit. Yeah. We're actually already in it.
I think prior to this sort of journey to get to here, I've come across this same situation where there seems to be this underlying factor of an energetic exchange or some turmoil in the energy behind everything. I mean, there certainly seems to be that from the sort of shamanic sort of ancestral healing. I mean, I've experienced this quite a lot through South African talking about ancestors from South Africa, where they reach their ancestors through trance and music and sound, as opposed to ingesting. And then I've kind of come across this as well through South American and American, true American heritage, where certain plants have got certain spirits and guides and people go into communion with them, and it's usually to resolve ancestral issues. But with using the plant as a guide, in some cases, an entrance to that sort of energy field. I guess it doesn't, I mean, I'm just exploring this conversation. It doesn't overtake the context of what's happening in the now, which is exploring the body, connecting to it, understanding the influences. I mean, there's a lot of incredible nourishment that I've got in the last sort of 4 or 5 weeks. It was just the way that these things were dropped in conversation towards the end, I felt like, oh, okay. It helps me sort of, it's helping me sort of flesh out where this enlightenment is and what it means to today. I guess I'm thinking that is more the context. It's not, of course, it's a very important subject, but it's not overtaking the what's happening now. It's just, have the opportunity to talk about it, so I thought I'd explore it.
Sai, I'm slightly confused about what you're saying. If you can just clarify for me what what you're talking about.
I'm talking about how if everything's energy and if we're in a flow with everything and almost to be a being is to allow this energy to flow through you and not be obstructed by the baggage of ancestral bad programming, traumas. And what we're trying to do is just trying to become very honest with ourselves and authentic in the sense that we are kind of living and being in the present moment, and you know everything is kind of firing in the right direction. And we speak from the heart. We're not ruled by the mind. That this is a way of living as a model of true life. Say, for instance, I'm trying to understand, and I've kind of alluded this through, as I say, exploring different heritages and through different parts of the world, what framework that sits within in terms of a framework that explains why we're here. Big question.
You want the unified field theory of something, but I'm not sure what.
I think that's it. I think I'm just trying to explore and find out where else this permeates. I mean, I look at, most things in life seem to be sort of macrocosms of microcosms.
Wasn't the focus particularly on the dark stuff, though? Your question,
Well, it was triggered by that because there was this suddenly talk about a war. And obviously we have our own personal battles. I'm very cautious of the word war because my granddad was in the war and, wars are very extremely traumatic for all those and doesn't seem to, I mean, the only people that get caught up in war are incensed in my eyes. And it's a hugely manipulative part of like the human psyche, if you will. So I guess when those words are used, and we're talking about words, and we're talking about the weight of words, and we're talking about the power of words. I mean, Chedimir talked about how he was triggered by three words in succession that it provoked my curious nature, not my Schadenfreude type of, where's this kind of leading? It was a kind of, I felt there was a, sorry, I said kind of again. There seemed like there was a part of the story that was missing.
I think it was perfectly reasonable to use kind of just there. Because I think it was applicable. I think I loved hearing it from Dave when he said we're in the middle of a war, or however he phrased it. I loved hearing it because that's what I've been observing and discovering myself for all these years. It's just incessant warfare, and it clearly isn't all about resources and territory, not the ones they tell us about. So when he said it, and plus, I think quite a few of us at the event came through Jason, and Jason's got some pretty dark material, so I think he also ticked that box for that crowd. I think there's a potential there as well. He was like, okay, you guys, just so you know, I haven't forgotten. Yes, there is a war going on. But I was just keep thinking recently, whenever I try speculating on reality, capital T, the reality. Anyway, I other than what I can read and what I can formulate, I don't think I can possibly assume what is actually going on. Even if looking at all these different traditions and the different realities different communities have, and how they perceive the world to be. And you know, if I can't master myself, and although that's probably the wrong way to phrase it, but if I can't go through the day without just wandering off and losing consciousness, essentially being an amnesiac 50,000 times a day, there's absolutely no way I'll perceive reality. But the fact that there is a war going on is almost irrefutable.
But this is where I have a little bit of a hang up with the word war. War is to sort of presume that there's an enemy. But if you look at Far Eastern philosophy, they look at, if you look at the yin yang, if you look at the I Ching, it's all about creating a balance. So their outlook, say for instance, is to have harmony from both of these forces. So both of these forces, I think there's to build on the Chinese phrase that you mentioned, Simon, one of the things is, as English and Europeans, I'm sure, you know, we have this tendency to ask people if they're okay, right? But in China, they have a tendency to say in response, same. So their way of kind of, they reaffirm with each other in the same sort of emotional way that we would say, are you okay? They're just confirming that they are in the same state, which doesn't really say that they're okay or if they're bad. In fact, for them to sort of show their way of being in a most pleasant sort of situation is to confirm that they're the same, that they're in a state of balance. So it's a very Western way to sort of say that there's opposing diatribes. Or I think that's what I'm trying to allude to, is that, I mean, I'm all for fighting the good cause, and I'm not definitely not trying to be obstinate. I do know that there's some very dark forces out there, and I think there's some very bad intentions. And I think the more people like us, in terms of trying to become better people and pass that on as a message, is incredibly powerful and incredibly strong. And it's needed in the world, personally, I think, from what I can see. So I don't want to, you know, conflate that idealism, if you like, but I'm just intrigued by certain words they used and where they're leading. Because as I say to you, if you take a homogenous look at the world, sometimes things need to be kind of not conflict, but they have to be in balance with one another in order to be resolved. So, yeah, anyway, that's my thought.
Right, so Dave is not being very Advaita by talking about a war, right? Advaita is non-dual. I mean, I'm being a bit glib, but that's just a way of summing up what you just said, Simon. But there's a lot more behind it, which I think is that you're wary of being pulled into some dodgy kind of narrative that ends with you arming up with an AK rifle to protect the Oshana complex from SJW invaders from without. Right. But I think it's a fair question, and I think one qualifier here is, because my response is much closer to Chad's, as you could easily imagine. Well, there is a war going on, so by all means, let's mention it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the war. Faulty Towers reference there for the Brits. But that doesn't mean Dave's recruiting. It doesn't mean he's saying we should fight the war or we should be involved in it. Just there is a war.
let the years pass. Take my hand, come back to the land. Let's get away just for one day. Let me see you strip down to the bone. Let me see you strip down to the
resonates. I mean, the importance of awareness. I think that's what I'm getting at. It goes back to what you were saying, Jason, about knowing how deep the lake is and how scummy it is, and how that relates to one's personal journey is. Knowing the size of the lake and counting the pieces of scum becomes an intellectual exercise. The most important thing is to know that the lake is deep, to know that the lake is wide, and to know that there is scum. And it was always one of the points of friction with my brother when he started exploring more into conspiracy theories, which is something I've certainly done in my life. And I had to stop because, and it may just be the way that my brain works, but it was like I was trying to keep all of this information in my head in one go. And then, okay, I know that this isn't possible. I know that that is risky. There's a certain point where I had to stop and say, I know these influences are there. The most important thing is, what do I do in response? And the only way I can respond is not through greater and greater enumerations of facts. It's almost the, it's not ignoring, but it's coming back to, I trust my instinct. I trust my instinct. I trust my body, which is for me right now is a very difficult thing to do. It's part of the struggle. But when I feel a sense of awareness is when all of the details fall to the wayside. And the important thing is when my body says go north, it's like that. It's that decision. It's that, and maybe it's a masculine thing, is it's that assertion of, I know this and I know this and I know this. My response is this. My response is go north. my feeling of how that connects to Dave, and particularly my early frustration, is when he talks about being enlightened and what the enlightenment transmission is, he never explains either of those two things. He explains them in a way that my intellect goes, yep, I've got you. Okay, that's chapter and verse on what enlightenment looks like, what it feels like, what are the exact steps, you know, give me, you know, things that I can write down, I can put an underline, I can put highlight certain phrases because I know these are the important phrases that you've just said. It's an internal process. It's a process of internal pathfinding, and then everything else, the shift that happens as a result of that process means that certain questions fall away and certain things fall into relief, and you feel like, okay, I've stepped down a level. And then my intellect follows. It never leads. It leads in the way of going, why, don't understand. There's an internal shift and it goes, okay, gotcha, next question. So that's my take on what feels, if you looked at it on the surface, would be Dave's dishonesty. Is, I promise you this, I'm not delivering. There's a point to that, and it's frustrating, and it's supposed to be frustrating. I think if I was going to actually criticize him as a complete novice, like, you know, maybe someone who's no better than a social justice warrior, just going, oh yeah, you didn't say this. There's sometimes he's not very good at talking, and the explanations that he gives, which sound like do a very good impersonation of an explanation, are not. And so in the way, it's like the level of dishonesty is, I'm not going to explain this to you. It's a bit like a Buddhist koan, where you need something that's contradictory and your mind goes, eh? Okay, I don't get that. But then after a while, your gut goes, okay, I've just sort of shifted slightly, and your mind no longer has anything to wrestle with. But it doesn't have the same wrestling match that was going on previously. So maybe I've misconstrued what the other Simon was asking, what he was getting at, in the sense of clarifying and understanding. There is incredible value for me in the sharing, in the discussion, so long as I don't get too intellectual about it, and I know I can run down that road and feel when Dave gives sort of an analogy of saying, oh, this is like quantum mechanics, this, and my science goes, no, it isn't, no, that's that analogy doesn't work. It may work for the general populace, but then for me it doesn't, because I've had to do the theory. But that doesn't mean that the words don't have weight, that the words don't have value. And I get hung up, I stop short on the analogy, and that's my frustration. That's purely mine. So the Bible of Dave, in a way, is supposed not to be written down. But it's supposed to be, I guess, in terms of all of those traditions of discovery. I think he mentioned on Saturday about the 40 days of, you know, going out into the desert, and the 25 years of Buddha out into the wilderness. Is that's the only way. And what you get are the people that signpost. And it feels to me like Dave's signposts. And I'm saying that from the perspective of someone who right now really wants to reject all those signposts. Again, come back into to my struggle. So, Takuda. Actually, thank you for that gift, Chedomir, because that's given me, that's something new. That means that I don't have to wrap up with a nice, I don't have to write the conclusions. Here's my scientific paper, introduction, methods, results, analysis. No, now I just, we're in real conversation. Takada. And I hope that doesn't offend you that I'm using something that you're trying to discard.
Cultural appropriation. Yeah, it's dot, dot, dot. Isn't it? And I have finished sentences with dot, dot, dot sometimes.
Sometimes, I mean, it's not, I mean, it makes sense. You can finish a sentence with dot, 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 or, and you can finish a point with takoda, because you've made, let's say you present your argument, it's now so obvious, you can just conclude with, well, takoda. There's nothing left to say. It should be all clear.
I would be interested, Simon, did anything that I say resonate, or did I misunderstand what you were trying to leave?
You reminded me by asking Simon what I thought, because I think it did, but we can see, Simon can confirm, but I thought what you said made very direct sense to what Simon was asking, and it was this, that when Dave speaks, the way that Dave uses language, it's not about the words, it's about what effect the words have on you, which is a really key difference, but it can seem very subtle. And in this case, when Dave spoke about war, we can see right here, it had two different effects on two different participants. One thought, right on, and the other thought, wait a minute. And both those responses are worth looking at. Like the resistance to the idea of war and then the attraction to it, which is more where I'm at. Not that I want to go to war, but I do want Dave to talk about the war. But I'll leave it to Simon there. I just wanted to point out that the key is how we respond to the word or the words.
Yeah, what you just said, Simon, really did resonate with me. I think to sort of peel it back to when you were talking about your brother and how, you know, you kind of, if I'm right to recollect this in the correct way, it's, you know, you're grabbing the essence of what's being said, like what Jason said, and I totally agree with that too. And it seems like you've also been careful not to take on other belief systems which might not serve you. And it's very easy to kind of get caught up in the weeds. And that I can totally relate to too. I mean, I think part of my journey to get to this point, and one of the things that's resonated me so much with Jason, is this journey of going through all of these weird belief systems in order to try and find your authentic self, or, you know, answers to things which are more underlying than our lives themselves. You know, it's what came before, what came after, then really big picture sort of stuff in terms of philosophies and things that aren't perhaps served with religion, you know, which I said, you know, again, which deliver. This is where I sort of use the word concepts, the frameworks for life. So from that point of view, part of my disentanglement with all of these belief systems is to come to a purity of self, is to really try and do the work with myself, so that I am better for other people, that I can communicate better, that I can be a more wholesome person and reflect what's coming through me in a very positive way. I'm an artistic person, so for me, I want to make sure that I'm creating the right stuff that can connect to people in the most positive way, not, you know, channel darkness or whatever way you want to sort of describe maybe a negative influence. I guess I am very sensitive to certain language because, as I say to you, I take it back to my granddad. I saw someone at the end of their life who was a World War II hero, riddled with cancer, alcoholic, isolated by his family, killed a lot of Nazis, and you know, survived some terrible traumatic situations in his life. He was on the Ark Royal, and you know, incredible sort of stories that he came up with. But he was at great pains at the end of his life, writing letters to spirits that he was surrounded by of dead people, and you know, coming to terms with what he'd done. And you know, it's not a word to be bandied around. You know, I'm trying not to invest too much in it because I picked up on something and I'm extrapolating it now. And like yourself, Simon, I try not to get too hung up on the meanings of, you know, the drop syntax, because there's a lot of syntax going on, and it is capturing a moment and it's capturing a feeling, and it's all about this connection to yourself. But these things just kind of stuck out. And this is a new group for me. This is a new sort of situation. So it's interesting to sort of test, if you like, where this is going. And I am curious. I want to understand it more. And I'm not saying that I wouldn't get involved, but I'm interested when these sort of things are kind of presented. And I'm actually thankful that I can have a discussion with you guys and not be judged. And it be open and, you know, dissected by everyone and everyone's point of views. Chedomir's, say, for instance, which in this instance, in reaction, is different to mine. We can look at both those viewpoints in a very honest way and understand the value of both of them. And that comes back to what drives me being here, is having that conversation and exploring it and not being frightened of it. And to walk around these kind of ideas.
Well, what strikes me, Si, is how long it took you to get to the, I mean, you probably still haven't got there, but you definitely just got a lot closer to it, to the ancestral affect that's being detonated potentially by the word war. That seems really significant to me, that Ted didn't know what you were talking about. I thought I did, but it turned out I didn't. Simon J, little by little, we got to what the trigger was, or why the word war was a trigger for you. So I think that's worth thinking about, taking, you know, absorbing, feeling into, like, why is it so difficult for you to express right away that you don't like Dave using the word war because you've seen the horrors and the guilt and all the rest of it around it, and it shouldn't just be thrown around lightly, if I'm not boulderizing, you know, by summing up what you said there. Yeah, why did it take so long to get that out, right? Non-rhetorically, but not to answer now, but just to think about or feel into. It also occurred to me that this is the second time this has happened for you, because the week before he threw the word guru out there, and that triggered you too, I believe. So, Dave does do this. He throws these little word bombs, and they. The thing about a trigger is it's. It has to do with belief systems, what the two Simons were talking about. Like, we have belief systems that we've constructed to cope with the world, and our identity depends on them, these crucial fictions, as they call them. And if a word is used that is somehow directly pertinent, like Simon's talking about with quantum physics, to our belief system, then we react. I know what war is. You shouldn't talk about war in that way. I know how quantum physics works. You can't talk about quantum physics this way. I know what gurus are. if you're a guru, I'm not going to come near you, right? So, but potentially what it's doing besides triggering us is helping us to see that prison of belief that we've created for ourselves around these concepts, which are around this traumatic affect.
I absolutely agree with you there, but I also take Simon's point of view where I give leeway to some of the words that are being used. And, you know, I don't take them literally. But obviously there is something there with this word, and part of my curiosity is prodding it. And I absolutely agree that there's definitely ancestral residue, or very powerful sort of... there's something very powerful there that triggers that word as well, 100%. And but I feel like I can see it from both points at the same time and be kind of okay with that, which is why I'm not shutting it that down. Guru, yeah, definitely I can agree with that one. There's a lot of connotations with that word that I put the alarm bells on, and I don't think that's necessarily ancestral. I think that's just from a self-preservation point of view. I mean, there's enough examples of it in the world. Okay,
you might be missing the forest for the trees here, because isn't the essence of this that words have this, how much power words have over our consciousness?
I agree.
And do they need to? They don't need to, but they can be useful. I feel like we've been talking about this today a lot, actually. They can be useful for observing. Like, a word that triggers us in this way is useful for noticing, for finding the triggers, and in a more general way, for observing how much power words have over us. So that's the larger context. Like, I mean, I have this problem with Dave too. I think it's similar to what you're expressing here, is that I get triggered and I want to resolve that issue, but I also say, wait, Dave, you shouldn't do that, or you shouldn't talk about my balls publicly, or you shouldn't use that word. And I think, you know, I'm here, I'm advising you, Dave, like I'm helping you to communicate, right? So I'm trying to wear two hats at once. One's the intellect that says, yeah, I can help calibrate the language here, and that's important. But the other is the wounded part of me that is inchoate and irrational, and that's so much stronger, and it's so much more unconscious, that at least with Dave, but I think potentially we can extend this to everyone and everything, I just try and turn it 180 degrees and just take full responsibility without giving carte blanche or get out of jail free to the guru, right? It's like, that's, I know I've got that issue, but in the meantime, let's just, you know, clean up my own backyard. Let's actually see, you know, why these words are so upsetting to me. Because underneath that's the treasure, the wound which behind which is the treasure.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And if there's a war, it's in us, isn't it? We're at war with ourselves. There's no enemy in this war.
Right. I agree. It was just how the word came up. It became more overarching in the context of us, which is why I'm bringing it up. Because as far as I can see, one of the attractions of this group and the types of people that we are is what we're really trying to come in balance and in harmony. And I think that's one of the huge benefits of when we sit with one another and we resonate with one another. We are kind of in this unified harmony love field, if you like. That is, it just feels quite unique to anything I've experienced. So, yeah, okay, I take it on the chin that I might have been triggered by certain words, but I'm trying to find out what, I'm trying to see how far this goes, and I can't help but, you know.
You're a keener, Si, but there are drawbacks of being a keener, and I think that if I can say this, if it's not oversimplifying, you want your love field to be all love all of the time, and it just isn't that way. We bring fear into the love field, and that's, you know, that's the power of the love field, is to be able to experience our fear in the deeper context of love and safety, so that we can dissolve and resolve those fears. But we definitely have to feel them. We have to feel afraid. We are afraid. There is a very powerful fear field that is exactly what is making these love, you know, this love field building so essential. But it is the context. The darkness is the context for the light here.
I agree, but again, I don't want to get, maybe love was a too strong a word, because all the words we sort of carry have a huge amount of weight, and as I say, they have different explanations and meanings for people as well. I sort of say again, the thing about the group is the sense of balance, and I feel like that is something which is it's keeping everything in balance. I mean, I don't think you could ever exercise all evil in the world, but you can keep it in check.
Yeah, but not by keeping it out of this field or this group, because it's that we all bring it with us. It's in us. And I don't, and you were here, I don't know if Simon Jay was listening at this point when I mentioned my dream, and that if we want to be a conduit, then we have to actually let the worst stuff come out as well.
Not afraid of that. Pardon?
You should be afraid of it.
Well,
because it's scary, it's frightening, it's destructive. It's like saying I'm not afraid of plutonium. So then you might not wear gloves.
I get it, but we have to live around it because it exists, right?
Plutonium.
Yeah, it's not like it's suddenly going to disappear and go away. I mean, it's not something that you. I mean, maybe our computers are powered by it right now.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd be a real dick and say that it does actually go away and disappear. because that's how radioactive half-lives work. Yeah. But no, I'm being a wanker because I'm cutting across the point that Simon was trying to make, and I used it as a cheap gag. The feeling that I get from what you're saying, Simon, there's two things going on, and we're sort of communicating on the upper level of establishing there's more of a factual discussion than what's actually needed. Mm. The important thing was the expression of saying, I had this discomfort, the feeling of you know, the mention of war. Okay, that's very uncomfortable. That's completely valid, at least to me. And then the explanation adds a great deal of color, and it's interesting to me that I mean, I think Ched, your ethnic background is Serbian, isn't it? So then that experience of war and not being triggered in that way, that or being directed in a different way, having a different emotional response, in no way makes your Simon response to say this feels insensitive invalid. This feels like a misuse of the word. This feels, but the and I, again, interesting that I've just skipped over it in the sentence. This feels. That's the grounding.
Yeah, then stay on that. Otherwise, we keep getting pulled into discussion. And you know, there's a Friday event, and if we were on the Friday meeting, Simon Sy bringing that up would have led a very different direction. Michelle would have probably said, "Okay, do you want us to sit with you, Sy, so that you can be in those feelings around, etc." We're not going to do that. Well, maybe we are, but we haven't done that here. We do tend towards discussion and thrashing it out, and that can work too. There's been a lot of energy in this exchange now. I mean, the whole meeting, I'd say, but especially maybe this last part. I was thinking of suggesting just a couple of minutes ago that we do go into silence, however, because of what Simon Jay was pointing out, and that the real value here is that Simon is able to share and express that affect, but not to intellectualize it. It's not needed. I mean, it's not needed by you, and it's not needed by us. So, I mean, this is the tip of a massive iceberg, correct? War.
As far as my take on it, as an amateur historian, I can tell that there's a war being waged against humanity. And the fact that we might not be aware of it doesn't make it less of a war. Now, my claim I can substantiate, but I don't actually know who's fighting who. We're all the victims. All of us are victims. If you look at people who are from the social strata which is making these decisions, they're pretty fucked up individuals as well. History of civilization is slavery and war. It's not mathematics and architecture. So when Dave said that there's a war going on, I didn't mean wicked. There's a war and I want to join, you know, want to be cannon fodder. I just thought wicked, he fucking named it. It's not like there's a war and there's an occasional truce. There's just perpetuity of violence, of man against man and man against every other species he can destroy. Clearly, as I think we can all agree on this now, we have we have an enemy in our midst, and that's us. Each of us, one of us individually.
Well, I wouldn't assume we can exactly agree on anything, and maybe that's part of the point, and also part of why I thought science might be the answer, maybe is the only answer. Interesting, my next blog post is about this. And my last blog post, I almost titled The War Against Humanity, or The Conspiracy Against Humanity, not the war, but close enough. And also coincidentally, I said to Michelle yesterday about the enemy, because she used the word the enemy, and I said, well, if Dave starts using that language, I'll get worried. Right, so for me, that would be a trigger word, not war. But if you started talking about the enemy, I'd be like, whoa, okay, Houston, we have a problem. So we will, but that might just be me getting triggered. They're just words. And words are always going to lead to conflict, I think, is how I fill in that dot, dot, dot that just appeared. Because I really do want to wind up quite soon. And I do want to make sure that we're holding a space, not just for size, ancestral affect, but for Jed's and Simon J's and my own around this. And that, and then that extends to the other men who are here. And then that extends to men everywhere. And then that extends to women, and that extends to everyone everywhere. Like the trauma of war and the fog that the trauma's created that perpetuates the war internally and then externally is seemingly endless. But currently it's ending here. Like this is the latest iteration. This is right here in this body. So this is where it can be addressed and resolved, where peace can be restored. And I think it can. So yeah, I suggest that we round up with all of this, all of these feelings and ideas and thoughts. I'm not going to enforce it or impose it, but that's what I suggest. And that we do so with just a period of settling and relaxing and just tuning in, and that we end with silence. That's my suggestion.
That's a good idea, Jason. I just wanted to say that I value everyone's opinion here. And it's, you said it right, Simon, it's the feel, right? It's expressing a feeling. It's not quite what it is, it's just the feel. So I think one of the beauties of the group is having this multifaceted way of looking at things from a very similar point of view. And I can't disagree with anyone here in terms of their viewpoint. And I think all of them reflect how I feel, which is why it might be very confusing to sort of try and articulate in the first place. So thank you all for that. Thank you, Jason.